Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we are going to be learning Iyov Perek Yod Tes, the 19th chapter of the book of Iyov. This Perek is Iyov's direct response to Bildad's second speech. It is one Perek long of a response, and as we know that the friends of Iyov are three at this point in time, and each of them has presented a speech and Iyov retorts to each of them. So first Eliphaz, then Bildad, then Sofer, and again Eliphaz and Bildad. So we're now in this number of responses. It is worthwhile noticing that the main thrust of these 29 psukim, which is the sum total of the speech, is that he is innocent and that they have confused him calling out in pain to his rejecting of Hashem. In fact, so strongly that he feels about this that he calls them traitors for betraying his trust and talks about them getting punishment for their onas tevarim, for them rejecting him and speaking falsely about him. Let's take a look at this perek. It's divided up into six main points. The first point he makes is in the first four psukim, Aleph to Dalet, in which he points out the following. Look, you tell me I'm a Rasha and I'm going to suffer eternal damnation, which is just what Bildad has said. Bildad had essentially accused him that in the future he will not ever rise from the grave. So he says, well, you continue to abuse me again and again. Ad ono toigiyun nafshi, tzadak unani bamilim. How long are you going to oppress me and abuse me? Even if my ideas were corrupt, they had been kept to myself and no one else knows them. The way he says it, af onam shagisi iti tolim mishugosi. If it was a bad mistake, it can't explain the degree of suffering that I've experienced because I kept them all to myself, even if it was that way. In Pasuk Gimel, he notes that for 10 times they've embarrassed him. Ze'ese pramim tach limuni. What are the 10 times they've embarrassed him? So Ibn Ezra says very simple. If you count the speeches that have happened up till this perek, you see, quoting Rav Sadia Gaon, that there are in fact 10 speeches. There's Iyov's first speech, Eliphaz's first speech. Iyov's second speech, Bildad's first speech. Iyov's third speech, Tzofer's first speech. Iyov's fourth speech, Eliphaz's second speech. Iyov's fifth speech, Bildad's second speech. That's 10 speeches that have occurred up to now. So he says, each one of these, I'm suffering. Even when I'm responding to you, I'm suffering in the way he's counting it. He makes his second point. His second point is from Sukkim, Hey to Ches. In this section here, he now describes that, look, you see my suffering as a sign that I'm obviously wrong. That's the proof in the pudding. But I feel that I've been taken advantage of. I feel I've been robbed by bandits and I called out to the passers-by and nobody turned around. I turned to the local magistrate and there was no judgment. I tried to go to the further judges in the bigger town and I was barred access. So the way he describes it, Hen etzak chomos v'layene. There's no way to get out of this. Nobody's listening to my calls. He makes his way to point three. Point three, Psukim Tes to Yud Beis. In this, he describes the injustice that's been done to him, in that he imagines Hashem is orchestrating against him. His honor was stripped of him. He was uprooted. He lost his hope. His children dying, like a tree being uprooted from its natural foundation. His anger, Hashem's anger was loosed upon him, and he was considered the target of Hashem, and he was loosed upon the enemy armies of enemies. Yachad yavog gududov. So he describes this terrible, terrible degradation that he's been through. Who are the enemies that we're talking about? The armies of his enemies. So the Malbim says it could be the Chaldeans who took his flocks. But the strange thing about that is that occurred earlier, meaning the other things he described actually happened later. The first thing that happened was that he lost his livestock, so it seems a little bit of out of order. So the Ralbag says, no, the idea of this Gedudov, these army hosts, is essentially just a metaphor for all the bad things, essentially the host of tzaros that he's experienced in his life. I wonder if perhaps when it's being saying Gedudov, it could be referring to even his friends, who are now the last straw which breaks the camel's back, which to him seem like war hosts as well, because that comes chronologically last. He makes his fourth point from Sukkim Yud Gimel to Chof Beis, and this is an extremely pitiful section. In this, it's so sad. Iyov really just turns out and he calls everybody and he talks about his utter and complete abandonment. My brothers have distanced themselves from me. Those people who know me treat me as strange. My relatives who have forgotten me. The people who live in my house don't respond to me. My servants disgrace me. My ruchi zara li ishti. I'm strange to my wife. my children are no longer have mercy on me. Even those who are fools embarrass me. It's so painful to read. And he describes how he doesn't have any flesh left, he doesn't have any skin left, and he pitifully calls out in Pasuk Chav Aleph, Choneini, Choneini Atem Re'ai. Just have pity on me, my friends. Have pity. Ki Yad Elokai Nogabi, Hashem has hurt me so terribly. Lama Tirdufuni Kamoi Kael Umibisari Laya Tispo. There's nothing you can get from me. I don't even have flesh you can take from me anymore. There's no pound of flesh left. I have nothing. Why are you torturing me? Such a terribly sad part of the speech. One or two basic questions is, what does it mean his wife has rejected him? We saw his wife talk to him beforehand, but she doesn't seem to feature as a main part of this discussion and dialogue. What is he to describing when she is estranged from him? So the Mitzvah David says is that that she has refused to have future children with him. Meaning maybe one of the ways he could have resolved the terrible destruction that they've experienced is perhaps to rebuild. She's not willing to rebuild, and that's why he feels she's estranged from him. Who are these children that he refers to who are also estranged from him? Aren't all his children dead? So it could mean his grandchildren, the Malbim says, or could mean the Bnei HaPlegshim. Maybe he had children from concubines, not his direct wives, but they also reject him. Then, it's as an interesting linguistic point, it is in Pasuk Yud Tes, there is a very fascinating statement which is made, Ve'es Malta, I will escape Be'or Shinai, with the skin of my teeth. Now that is actually a phrase today, and whether you realized it or not, it comes from Eov Perek Yotes, Pasuk Yotes. But what does it mean? We usually say it as when a person escapes with the skin of the teeth, it means that they barely escaped. And the way I always understood that was, is that there's no skin on the teeth because it was such a close call. But what does it mean in actual context? A few options. Mitzvot David says that what it means to say is very simple. What is being described, I apologize, is that Ibn Ezra explains, is that it refers to the idea that all I have left is skin and bone. That's all. There's nothing else. I escaped with nothing except for the skin and my teeth. Rashi says, making it even worse, is that there is no skin left on Eov. It has all been consumed by his disease except for the gums holding his teeth in place. Just understand the severity of the suffering that he's experiencing. The Malbim takes it one step further, and he says, Be'or Shinai, or does not mean skin, or comes the word be'er, which is an animal with an ayin, and it is describing how when he would eat, he would have to regurgitate his food because his internal organs could not digest his food, and he would be animalistic-like. So Be'or Shinai, Be'esmalta, Be'or Shinai, his food keeps coming back to his teeth like an animal who's chewing the cud because he can't even enjoy his nutrition. That's how much suffering he's describing. Terrifying. We move to his fifth point, which is Psukim Chof Gimel to Chof Hei. And in this he says, Mi yitein efoi v'kosvun milai, mi yitein b'sefer v'yachoku. Who would give? Would it not be amazing if what I'm saying now would be written down for posterity, people were to read this in the future? And the irony is, we are reading his words in the future. That is exactly what he asked for. He says, let them write it with an iron pen, let it be written forever, my suffering, because I know there'll be somebody who will champion my cause in the future. I know there will be justice, even if it's beyond my life, because you don't seem to see there's justice, oh friends. I think this is fascinating, because again, Eov only sees justice as something which can be achieved in this world. He does not believe there's going to be a time hereafter he'll find justice. It can only be within the confines of this world, even if it's after his life. Finally, his last and sixth point are Psukim Chavov to Chavtes, and he says a very powerful pasuk here. He looks at his skin, which is rotted away, and he says, Mibesori es echze Elokai, from my flesh I will see godliness. Which, generally speaking, we use today as a very positive description. From my own flesh, I look at my body and I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu shining out at me. But Eov does not mean it positively at all. What he is describing is that everything of me is gone. Everything has been stricken. You tell me that I have a soul inside which is going to last forever. But you know what? Everything's peeled away. There's nothing left on the surface. I can't see anything. I can't see any godliness. Where am I supposed to see it? This is a rhetorical question. Are you expecting for me to see God in my flesh? Well, it's all gone. It's all gone. It's all melted away. It's all fallen off. terrible, terrible description over here. And finally ends with a very sharp, sharp phrase, Guru lochem ibn cherev, ki chema avoy nois cherev leman tedun shadun. And he describes how that in the end, the sword will come after his friends for betraying him because of the onas devarim, because of the falsehood they placed upon him. Very, very strong parak. This ends his speech. And we'll listen to the third of his friends pronounce the second speech, and that'll be Tzofer. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.